We're grateful that each of you is here this morning, and we are especially thankful to have those of you who have come to be a part of Horizons and Christian Training Series this week. I see several of you that I know personally who are in our audience this morning. We look forward to an overflow crowd tonight as about 500 teenagers join us for the service, and we're just looking forward to a great day. Our theme for this year is the year of the family, and we have been using the first Sundays of each month to emphasize the family in one way or another. And this morning we want to continue that practice as we have throughout the year. There are some questions that just cannot be answered yes or no. And there are some questions that can be answered both yes and no. I never did want to be a witness in a trial. I've had to be a time or two. I always had the fear of having that lawyer look at me and ask a question and then limit my answer and say, answer it yes or no. There are just some questions you can't answer like that. For example, if someone were to ask you if you have quit beating your wife, how would you answer it? If you answer no, that means you still are. If you answer yes, that means you were, but you've now quit. There's just no good answer to a question like that with a yes or a no. But there are some questions that can be answered either yes or no, depending on how you are looking at the question, the circumstances, or the vantage point from which you answer. And I believe that our lesson this morning is such a question. Is marriage good? There may be several of you in the audience this morning who would say no. Those of you who are not married, those of you who are single, when you look at some of the choices that some of us made, and you may especially look at Judy, you may want to answer that question with a no. Those of us that are married, happily married, successfully married, would almost immediately answer the question with a yes. Is marriage good? Basically speaking, in lessons that I use relative to home and the family, I approach the subject from the standpoint that marriage comes highly recommended. And I believe it does. I believe it is one of God's great institutions. And I turn to passages like Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all. Genesis 2:18, where it says that God saw it was not good for man to be alone. You put the positive connotation on that, and that passage is saying God saw that it was good for man to have companionship. And at least two of those passages that we've just noticed, the Bible says definitely that marriage is good. However, the same Bible that says that says in 1 Corinthians 7, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And probably a technical translation or a better translation of that would be that it is good for a man not to be sexually involved with a woman or not to be married to a woman. And later in verse 8 in that chapter, I say therefore to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. And at verse 26 in this chapter, I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Four times in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says it is good to be single. And so the same Bible says that it is good to marry, and it says that it is good to be single. And so that's why I say that the question, is marriage good, can be answered with a yes and a no, depending on the circumstances of the situation. Sometimes those of us that are married tend to act as if a single person is a second-class Christian. Or at least that's what my unmarried daughter tells me. A single Christian is not a second-class Christian. A person can live a single life and be a Christian. A person may live a single life and not be a Christian. A person can live a married life and be a successful Christian, and there are some who live married lives who certainly are not successful Christians. The bottom line is that being a Christian is not necessarily dependent upon whether or not one is married. I doubt that most of us have stopped to think about the impact that is had upon the work of this congregation by those who are single. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 75 widows in the Henderson Church. I think we have 8 widowers. Now, ladies, that tells you who takes care of whom better. And I'd better drop that subject right there. I'm not for sure how many members we have who have never been married, but we have several. And if we were to add all of these together, we probably have over 100 adult members of this church here at Henderson who are at the present time living a single life. I would guess if there were some way that we could know and we were able to look at all the services that are done by those 100 plus people, that we would probably be impressed with what they are doing in the Lord's kingdom. I know that many of our ladies who are living a single life right now, either never having been married or as a widow, are very much involved in activities in our Bible school program, our benevolent program, and in many ways. And I just think that we would probably be impressed and maybe a bit surprised if we knew the impact that our single members have on the work of this congregation. On the other hand, we are well blessed with many that are married, many successful, happy marriages. We are well blessed with a number of young married families, young married adults, who have the smaller children and who are in the process of bringing their families into this world and rearing their families. And here again, I doubt that we really have stopped to appreciate the impact that that group has on the work of the Lord in our work here at Henderson. The bottom line of what I've said in the last few statements is that we need to come to understand that whether or not one is married, that what is most important is whether or not one is living a Christian life and living for God and living a life that is complete and one in which there is the kind of service that God wants. Those who are unmarried need to learn to appreciate the value of the Christian families that involve children and parents. And those that are married need to appreciate that which is given and that which is provided by those that are single in their service to God. Is marriage good? Yes and no. Let me reason with you about these two answers to the question in light of what the Scripture has to say. It is good to marry if one has a need to satisfy the appetite for sexual fulfillment and love. That is taught even here in the chapter where 4 times he says it is good not to marry. Verse 2, after having said in verse 1 that at least there are some circumstances where it's good not to be married, he says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. Jesus addressed this point in his teachings recorded in Matthew 19 after asking the question, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, said, for this cause, the fact that we're made male and female, and what is indicated by that fact of creation, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Jesus was recognizing there and trying to help us recognize that as wonderful as the love of a father and mother can be, that there is one type of love, at least, that cannot be satisfied or fulfilled in the relationship with one's father and one's mother. And that the only place where God has approved for the fulfillment of that type of need for love is in the marriage setting. It is interesting, I think, that after saying in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, that the next statement is, the bed is undefiled. And yes, God's word is using the word bed there in the sense of the complete male-female relationship. Many times we even use it like that in conversation today. Sometimes in circumstances that are good, and most of the time in circumstances, especially television programs and such like, where it is not used in the right connotation. But the bottom line of this is that God has given us the right to develop the desire for love and companionship, and He has given us the proper setting for the fulfillment of that, and that's marriage. Later on in 1 Corinthians, after saying in chapter 7, verse 8, that it is good to abide even as I, in the very next verse he says, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Lust is condemned in passages such as Matthew 5:28. And so it is good to marry if there is the need for the fulfillment of the sexual appetite of love and companionship. Number two, it is good to marry if there is the desire to conceive and bear children. Now, lest there be any misunderstanding, we recognize that there are situations today where even single people adopt children and give them a wonderful home, and where children are reared in what we call foster homes. I believe it was just last Sunday that we made an announcement about a need along that line. But as far as one's wanting to be the biological parent of a child and to conceive and bear a child, the only place where that is right with God's approval is in the marriage relationship. And so anyone who wishes to become a mother or a father in that sense certainly has the right to marry, and the Bible would say that it is good. Even the widows are told in 1 Timothy 5:14 to marry, bear children. Marriage, bear children. Genesis 4:1, Adam knew his wife and she conceived. Verse 17, Cain knew his wife and she conceived. In every case where there is God's approval, there is marriage, and then there is the right of the relationship which can result in conception and birth. Marriage is good for those who would desire to bear children. Marriage is good if one can find a mate who is really a wife or a husband. You may not understand the impact of that statement till you think about it for a moment. Notice that Proverbs 18:22 did not say, whoso findeth a woman findeth a good thing. Rather it said, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And the necessary companion statement that would be understood with that is, whoso findeth a husband findeth a good thing. There are a lot of people today who find a relationship with a woman or a man outside and inside of marriage where there is not really a wife or a husband involved. Oh, there is in the sense of naming that person in that relationship as a wife or a husband, but I mean in providing. You see, when you mention wife, that carries with it what is taught in passages like Ephesians 5, Titus 2, 1 Timothy 5. That carries with it what is mentioned even here in 1 Corinthians 7, that the wife's body belongs to the husband. And when you mention husband, that carries with it the leadership, protection, provisions of the nourishing and cherishing, for example, in Ephesians 5. And also carries with it the idea of giving oneself to a mate, even the physical body belonging to the wife. And one who can find a spouse who will really be a wife, in every sense of the word, Proverbs says, find something that's good. And who can find a spouse or a man who will be, in every sense of the word, a husband, not just called one, be one, has found something that is good. And so, generally speaking, we believe the Bible says that it is good to marry if one can really marry a person who will be a wife or be a husband. I would also suggest to you that it is good to marry if by marrying you find a person who will help you go to heaven. For you see, that's really what matters. What does it matter if you marry and have what appears to be a good relationship on this earth and have all of your needs met as far as material things are concerned and then die and lose your soul? None of those things matter when compared to the eternity in heaven. It may be that here is where we need to do more than we have done in our teaching with our young people, in the preparatory state. How many of us as parents are instructing our children and trying to impress upon them the idea that when you begin to select someone to be your husband or wife, you need to maybe first of all, above everything else, ask the question, will that person help me to go to heaven? Will that person help me to be a better Christian, a better servant of the Lord? I am convinced, especially by experience and somewhat by observation, that being married to someone who encourages you to be a Christian and to do the Lord's work is one of the most important things that could happen to a person in life. I am convinced that I am a better person because I'm married to Judy. I'm convinced that I do a better work in the Lord's kingdom because of her, and that her life and her support helps me to be a better person and to serve God in a better way, and therefore will help me to go to heaven. Therefore, I can truthfully say to you this morning, from that standpoint, I believe that marriage is good. But look at the marriages where a person has swapped a soul for a mate, who has given up their service to the Lord in order to please the wife or the husband. And Paul addressed that in verses 32 and 33 of this chapter. He said, if you're unmarried, you'll tend to think about pleasing God. If you're married, you'll think about pleasing your wife. He was not condemning pleasing the wife or the wife the husband, but he was saying that in some instances, that married relationship takes one away from God, and the other one will discourage you from being a Christian. And in that sense, marriage is not good. When one is married to someone who tends to hold the Christian back from serving God, that is not a good relationship. And young people, that's why we say to you so many times, marry a Christian. It's not that in many instances it doesn't work out. In many instances, the non-Christian is won, and another soul is brought to Christ, and many good things happen. You know, and I know of situations like that. But look at the cases where that's not what happens. And even in some instances where the two that are married continue to come to services some, they're just not really interested, or maybe one of them wants to be actively involved and the other one doesn't and holds that person back. Is it good to be married? It is good to be married if we need love and companionship, if we desire to be parents, to conceive and bring about the birth of a child. It is good to be married if we can have a wife and a husband in the biblical sense of the word. It is good to be married if that mate will help us serve God and go to heaven. So many good things about marriage. And again, I personally can highly recommend it. But the Bible also teaches, particularly in 1 Corinthians 7, that sometimes it is good to be single. We believe that there were some special circumstances here, perhaps some special temptation, difficulties of the time, but the principle is still there. And I want you to notice some four or five things that are indicated in this passage. It is good to remain single if one does not have the right to be married with God's approval. That is touched upon also in this chapter in verse 11. If she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. He says there are some situations where if a person leaves the husband, she is to remain unmarried. That's a single state as far as lifestyle is concerned. Or she is to be reconciled to her husband. That seems to be the only two possibilities. Therefore, there are some situations where if one is married to someone else, it doesn't have God's approval. You know the teaching of Matthew 19, 9, the teaching of Matthew 5:32, where if one puts away a spouse for any other reason other than fornication and marries another, it's adultery. And it's interesting, and sometimes I think we overlook this point, to go on down to verse 12 in Matthew 19. There are three types of eunuchs, or those who live a life of celibacy, mentioned in verse 12. And the third one is those who make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. There may be some circumstances where one does not have the right to be married, and therefore it would be good to remain single. It is good to remain single unless and until one is ready to commit entirely as long as life is here. I believe the Bible teaches that without a doubt. And here again is where we may not be doing as much teaching as we ought to. Nobody ought to consider marriage until they are ready to commit everything that they have every day that they live from that point on. When two people are married, everything the husband has except his soul belongs to the wife, and everything the wife has except her soul belongs to her husband. The soul belongs to God. Now, not long ago, I was present where a marriage was taking place. And the mother of the bride says, "I just hope that it works out." And other comments that were made caused me to believe that maybe there had not been the proper teaching, there had not been the proper thought put to, am I ready to commit myself to this relationship in a way that I'll give everything I have as long as I live? And I say to you this morning that what's taught in these passages says it's good to remain single until you are ready to commit everything that you have to a mate. And when we can get that across, we will have solved most of our problems that are associated with marriage and the family today. And then there are three specific areas mentioned in this chapter where he says it is good to remain single. In verse 1, he indicates that it is good to remain single if you can remain single and satisfied. If you can live a single life, and it can be a fulfilled life for you, and you can serve the Lord in that sense, if you can remain single and satisfied, he says it's good to remain single. In the second place, he says it's good to remain single if you can remain single and celibate. He goes ahead very quickly and says if you can't do that, it's better to marry. And we need to understand that. But there are those who are able to live a single life, keep their lives and their thoughts under control to where there is no fornication, either actual or in thought. If you are able to do that and remain single, this passage is saying that it can be good. And then I believe the passage is saying that it is good to remain single if you can remain single and serve the Lord as a Christian. We've already noticed there where he talks about pleasing the wife as contrasted with pleasing God. Paul remained single and served the Lord. Jesus remained single and served God in every sense of the word. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus evidently remained single all their lives. The indication is there. And there seems to have been happiness, a relationship with Christ, friendship, hospitality, all of the qualities that make one the kind of person that God wants that person to be on the part of these who were single. So if one can remain single and satisfied, single and celibate, and single and serve God, it may very well be good for one to remain single. You see, what the Bible says as we put these points together and tie them together, is marriage good? Usually we think of marriage as being good for everybody, but not necessarily. It is good if we can marry and carry out our lives according to God's will. Is it good not to marry? It may be. In some instances, the Bible indicates that it is good to remain single if one can live for God better in that type of situation. You see, what is important is not whether we're married or single here, but whether or not we're married to Christ. That's the marriage that matters. He's the bridegroom. The church is the bride. He's coming back to receive his bride and take her home to present to his Father. And whether or not we are single or married, as far as this life is concerned, doesn't matter as much as whether or not we have the right relationship to Christ. Those who can remain single and live a better life for Christ, I would persuade to remain single. Those who decide to get married and use God's principles in preparation for that marriage, entering into that marriage, and then the performance in that marriage, I would encourage to be married. If one really gets a wife and a husband, not just a woman or a man, but someone who will help that person to live for God and go to heaven. The bottom line really is, are we married to Christ? We can live a Christian life married. We can live a Christian life single. I personally strongly like the idea of being married and prefer that and would promote that and would show people the values associated with marriage. But I also recognize the Bible teaching how important a single Christian can be and the right that that person has to remain in that situation. But you and I do not have the right to remain unmarried to Christ if we're interested in going to heaven. We need to obey Him. We need to confess His name. We need to be buried with Him in baptism so that God adds us to the bride, performs that ceremony, and makes us a part of Christ, married to Him. That's what's important. And if we're married to Him and we make mistakes, and we do, we need to take care of those mistakes. Some of them in private, some of them maybe in public, where we have sinned publicly. We need to take care of those mistakes so that we have the right relationship with Christ. Is marriage good? Yes. No. Depending on whether or not it helps us to be married to Christ and to live for Him. That's where we need to emphasize the point. And we all, whether married or unmarried, need to learn to appreciate each one who is living for Christ in whatever the circumstances are and encourage one another, because going to heaven is what's important. If you're not married to Christ this morning, you need to walk down the aisle to Him as together we stand and sing.
Savior calling, I can hear.